Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you the one?
Are you the one?
You're the one.
He would be a Christian leader, but he would also bring about liberal economic policies, liberal foreign policies. He believes we have an arrogant foreign policy and the tradition of blame America first. That's not the model of the Reagan coalition. That's the model of the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah. Fred Thompson was the one in New Hampshire. Did you know he got exactly 1% of the vote? 1%. But he is still the favorite son of conservative talk radio for the most part because of all the remaining candidates with a shot. He's got the most consistent conservative views, and he hopes that's really going to bring him to the fore now in some more of these primary states. Consistent conservative record on the three main policy areas, the economy, social issues, and foreign affairs. And if you go down the list and look at, Huckabee is liberal on this, Giuliani's liberal on that, Thompson really does emerge as the most consistent conservative of the so-called major candidates. And so in that clip from the Republican debate last night, he went after Huckabee as a liberal. Now, that's aimed at South Carolina voters, where Thompson is hoping to do well. Huckabee, for his part, is going after Mitt Romney as a downsizer for the sake of voters in Michigan.
The reason that our campaign is catching fire is because people had rather elect a president who reminds them of the guy they work with, not the guy that laid them off.
Ouch. Now, that was from the debate last Saturday, but Huckabee has now packaged that line in a commercial running in Michigan, trying to cement his image as the candidate of a new populist evangelism. Hey, John Edwards could have said that line, right? So after our national sales tax debate, let's stay on the issue of the economy for a few more minutes and how it's becoming central to the Republican candidates. It was the number one issue in the debate last night held in South Carolina, but largely aimed at Michigan, a state with a struggling economy and many former auto workers. Remember Michael Moore. With me now is Chris Saliza, a columnist for The Fix, that's part of the political coverage at The Washington Post on their website, washingtonpost.com. Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming on WNYC with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Michigan, by the way, has four nicknames that I know of. The Great Lakes State, the Wolverine State, Winter Water Wonderland, and the Mitten State. Did you know that?
That's good for me. I didn't, but that's good for me as a writer because I'm always looking for different ways to call states by something other than their name. I like the Wolverine State. It makes it sound tough. Well, has an X-Men feel to it.
It's the college football team, right? But maybe Romney was nicknamed for the Mitten State.
I know. Who knew?
But staying with Huckabee, can you put his economic policies in some kind of context larger than the national sales tax? He's been positioning himself now, and we heard it in that clip, as for the people you work with rather than the people who laid you off. What kinds of policies does that rhetoric represent?
Well, I mean, in truth, and this I think you find in a number of ways when it comes to Governor Huckabee, it's at this point largely a rhetorical device. It's less backed up by policies. You know, he's for the fair tax, and I think he's trying to define himself, and he did this again last night, as the Republican in the race who isn't saying everything is great with the economy and all is well. He's saying, I understand that, you know, the average middle class family is struggling. He said last night, we have to be cognizant of the single mother who's just barely getting by. It's what you said, that populist evangelism, I think is a good way of putting it. Huckabee clearly believes that the line about people like voting for a guy they work with, not a guy who fired them, resounds, especially in Michigan. Remember, it's a state that's been devastated by the struggles of the automobile industry.
Absolutely.
Described as, you know, in a single state recession. And I think Huckabee believes that message plays quite well, both in Michigan and South Carolina, where the textile industry, frankly, has struggled as well, and the state's lost a lot of jobs.
Good point. And the guy who laid you off is a reference to Mitt Romney, who had a career as a management consultant and apparently was known as a downsizer. Do you know his background in that respect?
Well, you know, Mitt Romney, he a longtime businessman, founder of Bain Capital, he certainly on the campaign trail talks about all of the companies that he helped, the small companies that he helped put money into and succeed. Staples is something that he regularly mentions, that no one thought this small company selling office supplies could do anything, but he saw something in them. But yes, of course, there's the other side of that, which is when you bring in a consulting firm to reorganize your business or streamline it, that people lose their jobs. I think Mike Huckabee views Mitt Romney as the guy that he needs to get around in this race in order to turn it into a one-on-one versus John McCain, especially in Michigan. You know, Huckabee has demonstrated just a single state appeal. Now, we've only had two states vote, so I don't want to you know, prejudge him. But he really has demonstrated that he can appeal to evangelical social conservative voters in Iowa. Can he translate that into a Midwestern state, a state that does have economic problems but is not as dominated by evangelical voters? It's a much larger state, obviously, and
right.
The Republican coalition is a lot broader. So I think that Huckabee is trying to use Michigan to prove that, yes, indeed, he can appeal to people that are outside of his
right.
relatively narrow base.
Right, and so he's putting on this economic populist thing right at the front of his image right now, and I guess he's going to see if a sort of evangelical John Edwards is a concept that can sell. There was also an exchange between Romney and McCain in last night's debate. I'm going to set this up and then play both clips, but McCain has said that he's for Michigan because he'll help the people whose jobs are not coming back. Romney said McCain was giving up and that he, Romney, would fight for every last job. Let's listen to this and then deconstruct it a bit.
I've been coming here for years and years, and I've got to look you in the eye and tell you that some of those jobs aren't coming back. But I am here to look you in the eye and tell you that we are a nation that doesn't leave our people behind.
And
I know that there's some people who think, as Senator McCain did, he said, you know, some jobs have left Michigan that are never coming back. I disagree. I'm going to fight for every single job, Michigan, South Carolina. We're going to protect the jobs of Americans and grow this economy again.
Now, Chris, I got to tell you, that really made my ears perk up. And I had to think, is this another case of Romney, who already has credibility problems, saying whatever will be expedient without a history to back it up? When he talks about fighting for every job, but supports the policy that allows jobs to move, meaning NAFTA and other international free trade agreements, what is he really saying there?
Well, I think that's the fundamental problem for Romney that we've seen played out in Iowa, New Hampshire, and I think we're going to see played out in Michigan next Tuesday, which is that people think, voters seem to see him as someone who will say whatever he believes they want to hear. Voters have a very acute sense of people who are genuine and people who are not. I mean, that the authenticity argument is what explains the fact that John McCain, who many people, including myself, basically rode off in August, and John McCain was standing on that stage as the winner on Tuesday night in New Hampshire. I think Romney started off the debate. The clip you played was right at the start of the debate. And I think
right.
he wanted to try and draw a contrast between sort of a hopeful, optimistic vision that he has and a more pessimistic vision that McCain has. Unfortunately for Romney, he really teed up McCain to come back and talk about a little bit of straight talk. I'm going to tell you the truth. There are jobs that aren't going to come back, and here's what we're going to do to try and solve that problem. You know, I think that that is at the heart of McCain's appeal in these states. It's what won him New Hampshire in 2000. It's probably what won him Michigan in 2000 as well, is the idea that I'm going to speak hard truths to you. I think the American people are aware, especially with the economy, that everything isn't perfect, and they don't want a candidate telling them that everything's going to be perfect. All you have to do is elect me, and everything will be back to normal. That things are going to be hard, and there's going to be sacrifices to be made. That's what McCain's message is fundamentally about.
And not just sacrifices, but McCain was talking about helping laid off workers with retraining at community colleges and things like that. I don't know if Romney countered him on that, but did anybody press Romney, either in the debate last night, which I didn't see, or at any other point, about this idea of fighting for every job and what the alternative to protectionism is for actually doing that?
They didn't. And, you know, I think that I think it's more of a function of the fact that you get, excuse me, you get 90 seconds to describe your entire economic policy, and then your opponents get 30 seconds to try and rebut that. It's not exactly a format that rewards detailed policy analysis. But I do think you will see that between now and Tuesday, is that people's most likely McCain and Huckabee saying, well, where's I hate to use this line, but it's true. Where's the beef when it comes to Mitt Romney? Is that does his record reflect his ability to
yeah.
do this? And if it does not, then ask real questions. What are the policies? I mean, it's the same thing, I think, frankly, when you get into the immigration debate. Everyone, and Mitt Romney said this last night, everybody wants to secure our borders. Everyone thinks we should send the folks who are illegally in this country and have committed a crime immediately home. But then how do you round up, find, and send back or manage the millions and millions of people who are here illegally but have not committed a crime. You know, and that's the problem, is that the debate format does not reward any kind of extended analysis of how each of the candidates would do that differently. It's really just about sound bites and trying to score sort of the line of the night so that the evening news plays it up.
Yeah, well, that's why we're trying to focus so much on the issues here as an alternative as opposed to the horse race. But let me ask you one more political question about Romney before we go. Is his Michigan background a plus or a minus? His father was a popular Republican governor, but his father also made his name running a major automaker, if you can call the company that produced Rambler a major automaker. But given the employment situation there, is that a plus or a minus at this point in history?
I think it's a plus only because and maybe I'm wrong about this, Brian, I'm willing to accept I am, but I don't think that people have that long of memories. I think the thing that they know is that Mitt Romney was born in the state and that his father was the governor of the state, unlike a place like Iowa or New Hampshire, where Romney had to start somewhat from scratch in terms of people not really knowing him, more so in Iowa than in New Hampshire. But the Romney name is a known name. It's a pretty popular, I believe, political brand still. People have generally warm feelings about George Romney. So I think it gives him a little help in that regard, and that he enters this primary as a more of a known commodity than he did in earlier states. That said, momentum at this point in the race is very, very important. And Mitt Romney's entire campaign strategy was predicated on winning Iowa and winning New Hampshire. He won neither. If he does not win in Michigan, he may well continue on. He has plenty of personal wealth to continue on for however long he likes, but I think he becomes increasingly less viable if he can't win any of these first three states.
We'll see. We'll let that play out on its own. But Chris Saliza, columnist for The Fix at The Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com. Very interesting. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thank you, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue in a minute talking about language itself as an issue on the Democratic side with linguist Jeffrey Nunberg.
Are you the one?
Are you the one?
You're the one.